Capital 263.
What's happening, good people? You're listening to My Two Cents. It's your boy, Elliot Twist. And unfortunately, the co-host with the most could not join us today. But I'm joined in the studio by a very, very special guest. My man's... But wait. Drum roll, please. Marcus Zinawasha!
What's up? We made it to Two Cents!
What's going on, man?
I'm good, man. You?
Yeah, man. I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well, thanks. So, how's the week been for you, man?
Huh. I think it's been quite a lot, man.
Yeah.
Quite a lot.
I'll start. It's been a very, very sad week. I think issues pertaining to depression have been brought to the light. We lost someone that I personally respected in the hip hop game, who actually inspired me to spit. We lost Double HP.
I saw
this week, hip hop Bansula.
I think it's not just a loss to SA hip hop.
Yo, yeah.
It's a loss for, I think we can own it all together as Africa, because it's one of the pioneers who really make hip hop really pop like that.
Yeah.
And also alternative hip hop, bringing alternative hip hop in terms of just bringing it, bringing that language factor, that different,
yeah,
because everybody has been used to, if you're going to do hip hop, it has to be in English.
Yeah.
And now him bringing out that alternative venue, he actually met
Motswako.
I think it's dawn of Motswako. Yeah.
Double HP. If it wasn't for Double HP, there wouldn't be Kulichana, there wouldn't be Caspanyo Vest, because Double HP is one of the cats who opened up doors for people, the people that I just mentioned, to even come up. It's funny how I saw how they were going back and forth, like way, way, way before he passed. I saw how they were going back and forth in the tweets with Casper, apparently, because Double HP kind of felt like Casper was on some egotistical stuff. Are you aware of this? You're not aware of this. It's okay.
I'm not, man. But
it's okay.
The only thing that I last checked was Casper's last tweet, I think, saying the fan had actually really met and really, you know, he was able to say, yo, this is where we at. Truth, man. I love you. I love you. I think that
They managed to make peace.
They managed to make peace. And I think that was phenomenal for me, because as I said, at least I managed to tell him that I love him.
Wow.
You see,
wow.
So...
But I'm really troubled now by issues of depression. Do you think we are dealing with... Because do you think we're dealing with depression the way that we're supposed to? Because I remember seeing a post of something that HP actually said. I think it was on Cliff Central, where he said he didn't want his son to see him as a deadbeat dad, because he felt like the game had changed so much and he was lagging. He was turning into somewhat of a misfit. You know, I think it's really, 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 really sad that that's where he was at, you know, mentally. But he was a legend in my view. But do you think us as Africans, we're really viewing issues pertaining to depression the way that we should? I mean, what's your take on that, Marcus?
Funny, I'm laughing though, but
yeah,
I think the issues of depression in terms of how we deal with it, especially in the African context, I mean, it's quite different, because it always felt like it's not a thing.
Yeah,
it's not a thing.
And Arguzitisa,
it says Arguzitisa.
You need to just exactly. And I saw a post under Q Sisi Madube's like comment section where he was talking about depression. There was this one woman who was like, "Aiwa, anafana nganga, anubiswa mamepo yawaya, ekuragu zuraya."
Here's one thing I think that people, not that I do not understand that there's the spiritual side of things,
yeah,
and then there's the physical side of things,
yeah.
But people should understand that at any given point in time, the brain is like a sponge. The sponge is of so many more things.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and things like emotions and things like things that you really go through on a day-to-day basis, all of these things, they're there within your mind.
That's true.
So as much as it might be a spiritual thing, yes, we could pray over, yes, it's cool, but are you saying, Kuti, Canada, you've remedied what's also happening in the mind? Because I think people really need to get to that understanding that the mind is a different thing altogether.
That's very true. Right? That's very true.
And if you do not work with it,
yeah,
because other people, they decide to work sideways with it, to say, I am changing my mind to this. You can never lie to yourself, unfortunately. And too many people are lying to themselves. That's why at the end of the day, you get caught up into this.
Yeah.
I think also, I mean, depression is, it's just one of those things where people have so gotten used to putting on a certain face that for them to
a
check
strong
out
face.
That... And it's, legit. It's,
but then it comes in so many versions, you know, because you've got someone who's putting up a strong front, and then there's someone who's also not putting up a strong front, but is literally like flossing in front of you, like showing off, trying to make you guys feel like you're less than.
Yeah.
And then behind closed doors, they're dealing with battles that we can't even begin to imagine.
Personally, off late, I'm of the view of one thing.
Yeah.
Everybody is going through a whole lot of
situations. You could be rich, you could be poor, you could be whatever you are.
You see,
you're all dealing with some sort of issues, you know?
True that.
Yeah, yeah.
With other people, they'll be like, I'm better off depressed than a mansion. Dude, it doesn't change.
Yeah.
Depressed in a mansion or depressed in one room.
Yeah.
Which is gama veggie.
Yeah.
As now cooking oil.
As not oil.
Why is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that shit doesn't care.
Yeah. Depression because doesn't
depression,
select.
Depression doesn't select. Why is it?
Yeah.
And then everybody's affected by it.
Yeah.
I think it's one thing that I think we really need now to start having a conversation about. And to really bring it full circle, not just in terms of people who have now grown to maybe to being in their 20s or anything. In high school.
Yeah.
In high school. Yeah. Even in primary school, as early as primary school. Because I feel more like, even the kids on their own, right? You might think like,
we say that often.
But genuinely, do you really get time to ask each other like, What's going on?
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of these things are molded at a very young age, and when people are all grown, people really cannot now really deal with that. Now it's like a monster to deal with it.
Yeah.
But if at a certain point in time somebody had to sit them down and somebody really had to talk to them, or they had to talk with somebody, I mean, they could grow up literally, because a healthy mind goes on to affect a whole lot of things as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It affects every aspect of your life, you know? Every aspect of your life. So, I don't know, man, you know? I sincerely hope and pray that people out there are making genuine relationships and connecting with people on a level where you can walk them and talk with them. You can walk them through the dark issues that you're dealing with, and they can actually have some sort of positive contribution towards what you're going through. Because sometimes, in fact, most cases, depression really doesn't have a quick fix, but just knowing that, yo, you can confide in the next person about what you're dealing with. They say that a problem shared is a problem half solved. So, I don't know, man. RIP to HHP, and to anyone who's struggling with depression out there, please talk to someone.
Talk to someone.
Don't tell Facebook Live or talk to Facebook. Nah.
Because
talk
usually to a with real Facebook Live, what person. Happens is like it's now you breaking.
Yeah.
It's now you breaking apart, and too many times it's just you reaching a snapping point.
Yeah, and we just watch.
It's entertainment to another person, but
yeah.
At the same time, you're literally really losing it.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's true.
Somebody really.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And man, I couldn't agree more, man. So you heard about the new Tesla coming into Zim?
Uh-huh.
Nash Paints picked up a Tesla.
Congratulations, we now got Zesa Munyika. But I think that's a dope move, man.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
bold.
Yeah, that's very
that's
bold.
That's bold. We have seen a Bugatti, right? Yeah, we've seen a Bugatti.
At the airport.
At the airport. Yeah. I think Mr. Frank Buyanga did something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We've seen some couple of ghosts in the streets.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen Tesla, though.
Yeah.
So that's new levels
Tesla,
of different.
Tesla's new in the game. But, you know, kudos to him for bringing in that Tesla, man. That's really dope. Because he's got my levels.
Exactly. But
can I mark so pizza my Bugatti guys?
Boys! Pani cash, pani money.
That makes me feel some type of way. How do you explain a Bugatti, Mdara? I mean, all right, fine. I saw the Nash Payne stories the other day, Shamari. But Bugatti, guys. That's just rude.
No, it's not rude. It's different levels of the game. Why is it? It's to those who have got money.
Yeah.
To know that there are other people who got money.
Oh, they got real money.
Hey, I remember the levels of money. You got money.
You got baby money.
Baka
ipa. Yeah.
Comes my one, boys.
Money. That's insane, man.
Oh.
That's insane. Anyway, this conversation's switching over to you, my man. So, Marcus, you describe yourself as a fashion connoisseur, right? But in my mind, I'd rather call you a stylist because you've got that third eye when it comes to that stuff. But anyway, yeah, you know, walk me through what is a fashion connoisseur?
Fashion connoisseur. Okay, how we break it down is what the connoisseur level.
Yeah,
it has to do with first and foremost attention to detail.
Yeah.
It's detail oriented, to put it at the center of everything.
Yeah.
But then detail comes in so many different ways. Detail will come in terms of detail might come in terms of prints.
Yeah.
Detail might come in terms of color.
Yeah.
Detail might come in terms of accessories.
Yeah.
Detail might come in terms of combinations, be it of all of these elements that I just put out.
All right.
But
all right.
At the very top of it, style is for me a detail oriented element.
A detail oriented element. All right.
Like, okay, let me give you an example. Okay, let me walk you through to.
So basically, you pay close attention to how everything connects and works and meshes together. How all these elements.
Basically, I am inspired by all of these elements. And to just put it out there, everybody has got that signature and everybody has got that look. But pretty too many times, I think trends have confused everyone to think that this is what style is all about.
But wait, before you go there, how did you know? So have you defined what a fashion connoisseur is?
A fashion connoisseur?
Yeah.
In my own terms, I think it's somebody who is savvy.
Yeah.
In terms of style, savvy in terms of detail, savvy in terms of how things are all pulled out, and savvy in terms of just how things really work.
Yeah.
Sometimes whether to, in how other people look at it, or sometimes definitely in a different, unorthodox way of how something can be put and be like, oh, that thing.
They did it.
They did it. Like that pretty much looks so dope.
So how did you know you were inclined to this aspect? Like how did you, at which age did you know that, hey, I look at fabric and clothes and all that stuff differently? Like what was the magic moment for you?
Okay, let's bring it back full circle, way back.
Yeah.
So way back, I mean, I think I grew up naturally, I gravitated to to color first, yeah, first and foremost. But it's in Unandi Sinazu.
But you had a thing for colors.
I had a thing for colors and had a thing for things that generally look good.
Oh, okay.
Right? And I could just see things and know that. But by then, I didn't know this is where I was. So color for me was just, color for me was something that I really, really loved.
Yeah.
And something that I really found. And because I always found myself within the art side of things, growing up, I know, between Form 1 and Form 2, it was all on the outside of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Going all to the way to A-level, it's still outside of things, going and progressing, it's still art.
Yeah.
So for me, being on the artistic side of things really brought me to so many more things.
Yeah.
Of, and also, I mean, coming up from the south side of the country, being Bulawa, I mean, yo,
yeah, yeah,
you cannot but afford to express yourself, because everybody at any given point in time, they're expressing themselves in the best way possible.
Oh, so you grew up in Bulawayo.
Exactly. So the southern side of the country, I mean, we are,
so
the,
it is a culture.
I think it's
for
a
expression through fabric.
Basically, because the last time I checked, so many people that I know are from the southern side of the country.
Yeah.
They've got a certain savvy about them.
Yeah.
A certain swear.
Yeah.
What now people call swank, or you know,
swag. Yeah.
Whatever or whatever the term may go. But they really got this certain aura that's different about them.
Yeah.
I think from person to person, I also think it also maybe it's because everybody's like, when you're in this side, they'll be like, skiri revano beko blues, you don't know, inspire nevano beko joza.
Right. Yeah,
I've heard this a whole lot of time, but
yeah,
as much as inspiration could be one thing, another thing for somebody to really live that, now that's being genuinely unique and an element that really resonates within that person.
All right.
It cannot be inspiration alone. Inspiration is one thing, but to go ahead and live it,
that's
another level. Because you will be inspired
level
and do nothing about it.
Yeah,
how many
yeah,
more people have you seen that have gotten to that level?
That's
where somebody
true
just be like, nah, I'm inspired by Ningi. But we don't see you doing like Ningi.
You're just saying it.
You just say.
But
it,
we're not seeing.
You are not in any
you're not
of
acting.
That.
Yeah, you're not acting in line with that. You just mentioned that there's a difference between style and trends. What is the difference between style and trends?
Wow. Hard question, but hey. I think trends are fashion. I think trends, it's what's fashionable.
Yeah.
Trends is what's there.
Yeah, yeah.
Trends is like, right now, at a certain, I can bring you full circle to what trends we're talking about. At a certain point in time, camouflage was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was a trend.
Click suits.
Click suits were a thing.
Beach shit.
Beach shit were a thing. I
want to say samurai.
Samurai shit. Yeah, man. Samurai shit. I think I'm still the only person who can gladly say I never wore and owned one. Right? Which I am happy about, because now that I look up, I'm like, that trend was was one heck of something
else.
Yeah,
it was a train smash.
It was a train smash.
This one time in high school, there was this college I was attending, and I remember I didn't have a summer shirt then. But then I had a silver dinner shirt, right? And I thought, well, and I had like this silver click suit bottom. So then I took my silver shirt and my silver click suit bottom. But I don't want
my
teams.
I can't see this.
But now,
this is like a super 2000 then, double vibe, look.
And then I went to squaw like that. Gandhi steak.
Jamai! I mean, I can't see you right
in my
now.
In my mind, I thought I was killing
it. You were killing it for real. But the days,
the girls had a field day with me, Mdara. The minute they looked at me, they just started packing Chama. They said that I looked like a sandwich wrapped in foil or something.
So, but now that I think about it, I mean, that looked different. Silver and Jack.
Yo, my guy.
But those were gas, though. I mean, imagine if.
I thought I was killing it.
You were killing it, but unfortunately, in the time, though. If you didn't have a summer shirt, you ain't killing it.
I was not killing it, my guy.
You were not. You were not. Clearly, you were not.
Yeah. All right. So
we talked about trends. Now let's come back to style. I mean, style is more personalization.
Yeah.
Right. Style is how you define yourself. I think it begins from the inside out. Because as much as confidence is something that, because confidence is a thing that comes from the in, going from the out. But no, ask one erero. They understand who they are, they appreciate who they are, and they treat themselves with a certain value and a certain aspect that when they come closer to you, you're like, yo, they're confident. Yeah. So with style is more how you express yourself now through the fabric.
All
right. Right?
So style is more personal, and then trends is just more like catching a wave.
You're catching a wave, and trends is more mass market.
Yeah.
But usually, sometimes style influences the trend.
All right.
Right?
All right.
Then at the end of the day, everybody has this. Like, you look at it at a certain point in time, it was not cool putting on skinny.
True. I struggled with that.
I was one of the first guys I remember in my hood
to wear skinny.
I think we were about four.
Yeah.
Four of us, guy.
Yeah. How was the ridicule?
No, it was the ridicule, but at the same damn time, we were like the cool kids.
Oh, wow.
So, you see, we managed to catch the cool kid wave. But way before at the certain dim time, there were certain connotations that would be like, I think that nigga is dang, putting on skinny. But we're not big on a baby. They are.
Yeah. Well, that was pretty brave.
But that was pretty brave. I remember my granny had a few there with me this one time. I woke up. Mm-hmm. She just came from Kumosha. She's there. Right. I woke up. I broke up them skitties. He's like, I was like, oh, go those room for sure. At this corner. So it was like, but I think it was gutsy then. And because it was gutsy then, I think I already took that aspect of saying, like, I already preferred to do things way forward and to have that forward thinking mentality.
Yeah.
Way before other people could be like, because other people will wait up until 10 people have it. Nah, I don't put on skins.
So,
and then later on, people then get to a point of like, I think this is now a thing. Let me just buy one. Yeah.
I'll tell you something that I saw recently, well, maybe not recently, but over the past few years. Recently, I saw a rapper who was wearing a wedding dress in one of his videos. Few years before that, I saw Diddy wearing, y'all call it a kilt, but I'll call it a dress.
Oh, you could have been scared, though.
Jaden Smith had a skirt on.
And your boy Kanye had a kilt on. Yeah, that's a kilt, man.
Yeah, skirt.
Because I was leather.
Skirt.
That's a kilt.
I don't know. What do you feel about the feminization of men through fashion? Do you think that's even a thing, or it's just us overthinking things?
I think at a certain point in time, it's going to get to be a thing.
Mm-hmm. You think we're all going to be wearing dresses at a certain point. But then, you know, it's kind
but
of.
But understand
it's kind
also
of
one thing. I understand one thing with fashion, right?
Yeah.
It's because now, at a certain point in time, dresses were meant to be said they were dresses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were meant for women.
Mm-hmm.
And trousers were meant to be meant for what? For men.
For men.
But at a certain point in time, see how that the world turned over and there was a switch. And women adopted the what?
The trousers
as and they make it tighter though.
We still have an anam dad and quite it. We had to pick up a trouser.
Yeah,
I eat it.
But every day, who knows that the birago da ushau zubiti. We just pick up a trouser. So come dada, we just don't go zubiti. So no eat it. But no one goes that the birago da wapeka Zambia because you know
culture things.
But
you know, ngoye ku Egypt, those guys used to rock. Like, I don't know what like little skirt like things.
Exactly, that's my point. Like, we're bringing it full circle. And one thing that I understand,
even Niger guys, they're not skirts, but
my dress shirts.
Yeah, I don't know what y'all call them, but
yeah, they could be called dress shirts, right?
Dress
but shirt. At the same time, I think for Niger now also comes out with that cultural vibe as well.
They've
managed only in that way. So at a certain point in time, if I were to put on that, somebody would be like, you Niger or something. But at the same damn time, I'll be representing a certain culture and a certain tradition that other people adorn.
But
I see it coming full circle. How people are going to catch up, it might not be now, might not be never, but one thing that I know with people and also being, I think, style forward.
Yeah.
Style forward sometimes will make you challenge people's minds. Other people do that. But frankly speaking, I'm like, it's cool. Do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
I'm really not over the top extreme.
Yeah.
I'm really signature detail and bringing a new thing and a phenomenon that I'm not looking for everybody to appreciate it, but I'm saying you can still look at it and be like, I can see myself rocking that.
Currently, right?
Not way before and everything. And also, this also comes for me through other influences internationally and locally of other people that I see and be like, yo,
which is something I was actually about to ask you right now. I mean, how do you feel about local designers? And are there any local designers that make stuff that you appreciate?
I mean, there's a span of local designers that really make stuff that some of them, I think I've worn one or two or couple designs from them.
Yeah. What made them so unique?
Like I tell you, man. Their attention and their focus of detail.
Yeah.
Nothing best detail.
Yeah.
And the very sometimes an outfit might be plain, but understand sometimes in its plainness, the stitching is on point.
Yeah.
How it lands on your skin is on point. How it fits. It's not just a garment. It's like this garment really has got a soul on. And when you put it, the way that it hugs, how it hugs you and how it brings and accentuates who you are, dude, now that's a different kind of level.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lie to you. For me, that, when I look at that and when I put on something, a garment, and when and sometimes also it has to also come back to the color, the prints, the pattern used on it. That for me, I'm like, wow, like, yo.
Yeah.
The same way when you look at a Bugatti, I can also look at a garment and be like, shoo! This thing tight, and also now when I put it on, right, there's a certain level about it, and also that how it then just clicks to me, like if I'm putting on, let's say, maybe this olive green jacket with those denims and those type of shoes that I have and this kind of shirt, or skip the shirt, let's do a t-shirt which feeds on to this, which feeds on to that, and then when you step out, it's well thought.
Yeah,
style is well thought. I think also that's something that
style is well thought.
It's well thought. It's precision. It's
intentional.
It's like it's war. Yeah. It's war in very such ways to make you understand that I really took time and was like, yeah, I'm going to come out looking like this.
Yeah.
I didn't just walk up and be like, "Daga chen on the TV." Oh, okay. Okay. No. It's intentional.
Yeah.
Right.
So, which brings me to local designers.
Yeah.
Whose works, like, just a random list.
Yeah.
Whose works really touch you?
You see how I had to sigh like that?
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot. On top of my mind, there is Tafuma Ney.
Yeah.
Munenge.
Yeah. What? Okay.
He also does bridal wear. Right. I've seen the tightest gown that he's actually done. Dude, level.
Yeah.
There's Zaguja.
Yeah.
Oh, man. With Zaguja, there's an essence of luxury that goes through his garments.
Yeah.
That even when you put them on, when you put them on, good.
Now you're making me feel like going to buy myself something.
Definitely. and also, I mean, like, let's support local.
Yeah.
Let's support local. There's Chenesai, there's Timbani Mbochua, there's
Sana. I've seen Chenesai's work. Chenesai is the one who does the African prints, right?
Exactly.
That stuff is amazing. Yeah.
See, there's Timbani Mbochua, there's... you know, I'm going
Kid,
through...
Kid Hunter.
Kid Hunter! Kid Hunter!
Yeah.
And there's Arakan. Right. Representing Zimin Essay.
Wow.
From the beautiful city of Kings and Queens.
Wow.
Then I got my boy called Tribes.
Yeah.
Mentored by Arakan. You gotta see, either Zim, there is these are the levels about it that actually really goes through, that really go, that they really pull the shadow. But it's to me, so there's Nkazana. They're actually doing African bridal wear.
Wow, it's amazing.
You gotta, I mean, like, if these are, if literally at a certain point in time in Zimbabwe were to say each and every person is, has to buy a garment each from a designer.
Yeah.
Each.
Yeah.
If we had approximately, we had 12 million and all of us had to spend $10 or let's say maybe even $20 or $25 on a single garment or a single piece from all of these designers.
Yeah.
Imagine how the fashion industry will be resuscitated and actually will start celebrating our own and actually saying like, yo, they're putting it on.
I think fashion has a strong hold on identity. You know, your garment speaks a lot about who you are. So when I think about local designers, I'm thinking, wow, what better way to get your message across that, yo, I am Zimbabwean, I'm African, and this is where my heart lies. Like,
exactly.
Then rock a local fabric. Yeah.
And I'm like, as much as a Giorgio Armani suit looks tight, and as much as a Burberry looks tight,
yeah,
right? But understand, it came to that point where it looks tight now, and it's a garment of choice, and it's a garment of luxury, and you pay whatever ridiculous amount that you pay for that garment. Yeah. It was because somebody had to what? Somebody had to pay.
Yeah.
The brand had to be built at a certain point in time. You'll be amazed at how all of these brands that we're celebrating today, how they started.
Oh yeah.
It was never about that. There are certain craftsmanships, fair and fine.
Yeah.
But they added so many more things, and there was so much support up until they got where they are now.
That's amazing.
And talking about that, you also gotta check, oh my god, Ngannou Dynasty.
Yeah.
These brothers, ladies and gentlemen, whoever's listening to me, you can hit me up. I'll go make sure you get a Ngannou Dynasty.
All right.
And every other local designer in the country, you can hit me up. I can show you where they are. Who, do,
so, so Marcus, here's something that grinds my gears, man. Like, I've seen fashion shows on ZBC.
Yep, yep, yep.
Where do you think they miss it? Because I don't hear the same passion. I don't feel the sense of life when it comes to the fabrics. It's usually very dull and very predictable and boring.
Also, it then comes back to one thing, because when you're putting on a fashion, let's say a fashion show,
yeah,
it's not just
a fashion program, really.
A fashion program, really.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of more that goes through to that, and I feel more like they need to be doing more collaborations with people that are doing the most, and actually asking and saying like, we need to do A, B, C, D, F, G. Yeah. If it's going to be, how is the lighting looking like? Because the fabric might be tight. But if the lighting within that show is not there,
garbage.
It won't really make the garment look like
it's amazing.
It's
yeah.
amazing. So you got ambience, you got the way that is going to be showcased. How is it going to be showcased?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Right? There's just a whole lot of elements that need to be looked at full circle, and even when something's being produced to be looked at and to bring people that are really knowledgeable within that space.
Yeah.
People that are going to say this will fly, this won't fly.
Yeah.
And to also cut off the bureaucrats, because I feel more like there are so many projects that I've seen that could have really blown people away.
Mark. Yeah.
But there's so much bureaucracy sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody will tell you like, I do not like this.
Yeah.
But for crying out loud, we are the consumers. Can we not have an opinion because you had an opinion? Can we not then go back on Twitter and say that program was not it?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Can we not do that?
Yeah.
You see, so at the end of the day, I mean, there's just a whole lot of things that really engagement is needed within the industry.
Right. And I really feel like there's some brands that you mentioned, man, that I've never heard of before. Like, I literally just heard them for the first time, and you mentioned them. I feel like local designers also should take advantage of this new digital age that we're in to at least get their names out. Because,
sense, but at the same time, also comes back to the natural Zimbabwean. Who is the Zimbabwean? What does the Zimbabwean buy? Does the Zimbabwean buy Zimbabwe?
Pero.
you see my point.
Pero.
And also, I do understand, it also comes back to pricing and everything, because designer is always going to be a little bit pricier, because it's designer, it's tailored to your fit.
Yeah, it's a whole lot more work.
See? So it's somebody trying to...
There's a whole lot more going into it than just picking up a t-shirt that's going for a dollar.
Yeah. But I think it's so much more. It's so much more that really needs to be done. And we just... It's an industry on its own. Because at the same damn time, also we... In this industry, everybody's competitive. Everybody's trying to get the most. Everybody's trying to make sure that their brand pops.
Yeah.
And their brand goes... regionally, internationally, in every local store, be it Netgas or anything, but so much more.
All right, fam. We've come to the second segment of the show, and it's called Soundbite. So I came across a very interesting soundbite. I think you're going to enjoy this one. Very, very interesting soundbite that has literally just gone viral. In as much as I know that this person is not from our country. Alright. I'll let you guys decide on this right here. Alright, so normally the co-host with the most would be explaining some stuff about how weird my sound bites are, and I'll be trying to defend my weird fetishes.
I'm gonna go wait to check it out, though. Seeming as if may you're also confirming how weird they are.
But you know, I wouldn't say it's really, really, really weird. But you know, I think. Okay, you be the judge.
I know a lot of people take issue with my beliefs. I'm white. I'm a Caucasian because everything about me is different from an African American. I have naturally straight hair. My hair isn't nappy. It doesn't require weave. My nose is not giant like African Americans. My lips are perfect. They're not too big and they're not too small. Like, they're just perfect. My ears, I don't have black people ears because they're really giant. Most African Americans speak ghetto. But when it comes to black people, I think they're all ugly and I have nothing in common with them. I'm different from African Americans because I'm white. My figure is just like Kim Kardashian, and she's a wonderful role model. I act and I think like a white person instead of a black person. I believe that I'm completely and utterly better than them. Like, we're on two different levels. Like, okay, African Americans are here, I'm here. White people act and think just way more mature than African Americans. Black people, they think in a criminal way. When I think about African Americans, I feel like asking them, what is wrong with them? They're really dangerous. If an African American is on the same street as I am, I'll cross the street to avoid their chaotic, thuggish ways.
Are you okay?
I'm irritated.
I'm sorry.
I just know that I'm white. I mean, she might not know that I'm white, but I know that I'm white. I can feel it through my veins. I feel it through my blood. I tell my mom, I'll never be like any of those Negroes. My mom tries to criticize me about my supposed race. I tell her she's just ignorant. There's nothing wrong with my views or beliefs because I have freedom of speech and everything I'm saying is true.
Okay, Treasure, how are you this morning?
I'm pretty great. How are you?
I'm all right.
That's great.
Now, you've been listening to everything we've talked about so far,
yes,
right?
Yes, I have.
And is there anything that your mom has said or told me about that's inaccurate, incomplete, or that you want to add something to?
Well, I mean, actually, yeah. You guys called me delusional earlier, and I feel like the only people
I did not call you delusional. I asked your mother if she thought you were delusional.
Yes, well, you asked her that question. I would like to clarify the fact that I am nowhere near delusional. I'm actually very capable and a very intelligent person, so.
Being delusional and being intelligent are not mutually exclusive.
Well, I feel like if you're being delusional, then you've got to be some type of retarded. And I'm not that.
Well, I have two things to say about that. Number one, that's absolutely just simply not the fact. And number two, using that word is very derogatory. So I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't use that word.
Yeah, well, okay, well, I'll understand, only because I'm a very respectful person. And if you wish that I don't use that word, then I most definitely won't use it.
Okay, appreciate that.
Okay, no problem.
When you say that you believe yourself to be Caucasian, tell me why you believe that to be true.
Well, I know I'm a Caucasian because when I wake up in the morning, I just have such a great life. And that my hair is so perfect, my skin isn't ugly, and I'm not fat also, which is also a really African-American thing. So, like, I'm just nowhere near like them. And plus, they're so thug and criminal that I can't relate.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, that's just so riddled with ignorance, I don't even know how to respond.
Okay. And,
I'm not saying it to be insulting. Ignorance doesn't mean lack of intelligence. It means lack of information.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're confusing the concept of race and ethnicity, because race is really biologically determined.
I know I'm biologically white. I feel it through my veins and through my blood. I don't just think I'm white. I know that I'm white.
And
there's no doubt in my mind.
Even though I have told you that your father was not your father and that you are actually African-American?
You might be lying. I don't trust anything that anyone else says. I know that I'm white.
Ethnicity, on the other hand, has to do with whether or not you identify with a particular group in terms of their culture and practices, beliefs, religions, things that go along with that particular group. And that has nothing to do with race. Sometimes they can overlap, but not always.
Well, I feel like you're wrong. You're completely wrong. I know who I am, and I know my race, and I'm a proud, proud white person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing. I feel it through my veins. Like, it's literally in my blood. There's no way. I don't believe that I'm white. It's not my ethnicity.
Treasure, do you
accept my race.
There you go, you know. She believes that she is white. Okay, so that was an excerpt from the Dr. Phil show. And basically the young lady in the clip is a black girl who is claiming to be white. She feels it in her blood. She feels it in her veins. She feels it everywhere that she is white. Even though she's as chocolatey as I am.
Well, that's really some sort of a treasure. Ah, praise the white man.
Uncle Ruckus, I just...
I love me the white man.
Anyway, yeah, man, that's...
Yo, man!
This is our baby today, man. What are your two cents on this one, man? What do you think?
What kind of... is... this...
Yeah...
You
yeah.
see, I had to put on the bills
yeah,
right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I see you bleeping yourself. Okay. Yeah. I won't let him. Hit me. I need to hear
you. You see all my gestures. I mean, if we had a live recording right now, people really gave me a why, and at a certain point in time, I didn't say anything. Because my gestures are so loud right now. I'm like, how the hell could you be so black?
Yeah.
So dark,
right? And still say that.
And still go ahead and proclaim.
That, yes.
And have the audacity.
Vehemently proclaim that you are white.
Aggressively. We.
Quita naro.
You are out of order.
Yeah.
Very much out of order.
Yeah.
Because. How the. I mean, it still beats my mind thinking about it. Like, how could you be so black and be like, and say, I am white. And it's not race, it's not ethnicity or anything.
Yeah.
I am white.
Yeah.
I can feel it in my blood.
Yeah.
You feel it in what?
Yeah.
Ain't changing the color, though.
I don't know, man. I thought it was insane. I really thought it was insane because I don't know what she experienced to come to a point where she's got such a deeply rooted sense of self-hate. I don't know. And just as you heard in the clip, her stepfather was white, but her actual dad was black, as we can all see. But still, in her mind, she's saying that
She's white.
We've got a Rachel Dozier situation here. It's a young girl now.
At least Rachel, on the other hand, you're associated with,
she was down.
Up until at a certain point in time, she was
she couldn't hide it anymore.
She was like, we're just trying to do this for the comrades, eh?
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. That right there was our soundbite for the thing.
Dude, now I get why the horse with the most. Who's not in the building? I would have loved to see it, though. Say, you weird like
True
that, dude.
Reaction.
How, where do you even get these things, man? I'm like, I'm on YouTube and I do not see any of these things.
Yeah, we look for these things.
They trend and come to your own timeline and they do not trend and come to my own timeline?
I don't know, man. It's weird. I just have this knack for grabbing this weird stuff. I don't know. But it's crazy. It's crazy. I just hope that she...
It's crazy, man.
She finds herself, man. I just hope she finds herself.
I think at a certain point in time, you're still going to get a Caucasian, man. We'll probably think, I think you'll be so freaking racist.
Yeah.
That's the only way that they could be. Because if they are like chilled out and they are like open within society and saying like, no, the world is black and white.
Yeah.
It's not white.
Yeah.
Then it gonna be a hard time for her.
Definitely it's gonna be hard.
But hey, you gotta let people be who they wanna be.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech.
I heard that too. So my mans, we've come to the third segment of today, but I think today is going to be slightly different. But it's called Celebrity Story. So could you please share just one celebrity story with a memorable celebrity could be an international or local celebrity that you linked up with that pretty much blew your mind.
Okay. We are going all the way to SA.
Yeah, all right.
Casper Nyovest.
Yeah.
I'm still humbled even about this day meeting him for the first time.
Yeah.
I think I look at him in terms of how, not just how he's changed the game, but how he has actually made what his music stands for, one. And two, how his belief system is like, because I gravitate to his belief system more. And I'll tell you one thing. I also gravitate also to the lyrics that he actually puts out there, right? But over and above everything, his belief system, you gotta respect that. The only person who said, if Chris Brown will come through and we can fill up the dome, let's go ahead. Let's fill up the dome on our terms.
Yeah.
Fill up the dome.
Yeah.
If we manage to fill up the dome, which means we can fill up a stadium. When I filled up the stadium. And for me, seeing him for the first time, I called myself a selfie there. I called myself a selfie moment, which was for me, when I still even look at it today, I'm like, how can you get to this kind of level? What goes on through his mind?
Yeah.
How does he do what he does?
Yeah.
And how? So for me, when he actually came for Shoko, I think that was 2015, Shoko Festival.
Yeah.
I was there at the press conference, hearing him speak out. I think I still own that audio.
That's how big a deal.
That's how big a deal this thing was to me. This was a big deal for me.
Nah, that's awesome.
Right.
That's
and awesome. After that, catching a selfie. The first one was hazy. The second one was on point. And I was still like, I really love it. And now the goal is to keep on grinding, keep on pushing. Yeah. So at a certain point in time and at a certain day when we will post that picture, we'll be like, we looked at the grace and we met the great moves and we great today.
Yeah.
Sitting with them, we side learned, to side.
We learn from the greats.
We learn from the great. Yeah. So for
That's deep. That's one of the things actually that I learned from Michael Jackson when he said, you never stop learning from the greats.
You never.
Yeah.
And they've walked a very tough journey to be where they are, and when you look at them and you actually get to ask yourself, how are they doing it? It'll actually unlock a certain part in your mind that you didn't even think that you had.
That's true. That's very true.
And when you work it, you'll get it.
Yeah. Wise words, man. Really wise words.
I'm proud of myself right now.
Wise words. But in memory of Jabba, I wanted to share my celebrity story about Jabba. So Hip Hop Pansula, I saw Hip Hop Pansula coming up. Around about the time when every Zimbabwean had BTV. You couldn't miss Hip Hop Pansula. So seeing Hip Hop Pansula come up was quite a thing for me. And I remember this one time when he was on TV, and I was sitting in the dining room with my cousins, and I was like, yo, I'm telling you guys, one day I'm gonna link up with this dude. I'm telling you guys. I was just mouthing off. Right.
But I think at that point in time, they look at you like, yeah, they nigga. And I think by then, bro, maybe
I was just running my mouth. I wasn't even
no 100%. Beard, no nothing.
Nothing, no beard, nothing.
And they'll be like, yo, nigga, scrawny as you are. Jabba, you see who Jabba is that?
I was just, you know, kicking rhymes for fun. And they knew I rap back then. But yeah, you know.
You're like, yo. Like,
I was literally just gassing myself up because I was like, yeah, Elliot, you're probably going to meet him. Years later, I think I was doing some stuff for media once again at Shoko Festival, and we were expecting one act to come through. I think it was AKA, and then Jabba had to come through last minute.
I remember that.
Jabba came through.
Alex Sports Club, right?
Alex Sports Club.
Yo,
amazing. Jabba put on an amazing,
that was dope, dude.
An amazing performance. Amazing. I wasn't expecting to see what I saw. The melodies, the energy on stage, the vibe, everything. And that was the only highlight for me at that festival that year. That was the only performance I felt blew my mind. That reached a peak as far as expectations was concerned. And everyone else felt that way. Like, that performance right there stole the entire festival.
That performance is iconic.
After Jabba was on stage, I was like, yo, I'm going to get myself a selfie. I went to the VIP section. Oh, okay, whatever. So he comes off stage. Peeps are like walking him to this interview room, and I was like, yo, Jabba, let's do this.
I don't feel it, man.
We stopped for 2 seconds. Bam, I got the selfie. It was such a nasty selfie.
But it was still an Elliot with Jabba selfie.
There was a whole lot of commotion going on, but yo, I appreciated that. You know, he had just come off stage. I could tell he was tired, but he was still like, yo, you know what? I'm going to get this selfie. I mean, like, I'm going to give this young dude a selfie. And I felt like life had come full circle for me, at least in that instance. So, you know, R.I.P. to Jabba, man.
R.I.P. One of the best to ever do it, and still to do it. And it was like, yo, still.
Amazing guy. All right, Marcus, thank you so much, man, for coming through. Where can people follow you?
Okay. Oh, this is the things.
Yeah.
Okay. The Marcus ZW on Insta.
Yeah.
And on Twitter. All
right.
And Marcus Junawashe on Facebook.
You've done some modeling work as well, right?
Done that.
Yeah.
Commercial, that is.
Billboards in order.
You know, exactly. That's commercial. That's the commercial part of it. You know, we don't walk the way.
Yeah.
But we show up through the billboard and the newspaper the way. But it's all a bit about building the brand and also trying to get into these waters, do the most.
All right.
And not just doing the most, but also carve a certain niche, because I also feel like there's still something that really needs to be learned. Because everybody thinks that when you also get into that space, they think like models are people that are tall.
Yeah.
Literally, I am 1.71 people, which literally in the model industry, I am as short as they come. The only thing that's selling me off, I think it's a beautiful, great smile altogether.
And a beard.
You cannot. Big egg. I mean, we're almost close to November, yeah, by the way, yeah.
Yeah, no shave.
No shave November, yeah. I'm not shaving right now up until November.
Yeah,
my next shave is in December, though. So, And thanks, man.
Hey, thank you for coming through. You can follow me on my personal page at the Twist, Facebook, and Twist263 on Instagram. You can follow The Juice at THEDJEUCE, Facebook, Twitter, on YouTube. Yo, find us. Check out our content. We got some cool stuff. All right, you've been listening to My Two Cents. It's a wrap. Peace.
And now. Capital 263.